Welcome to UK Perspectives. I'm guest host Julie Rinn, director of the Kentucky Women Writers Conference. Founded by the University of Kentucky in 1979, it's the longest-running event of its kind in the nation and receives generous support from LexArts and the Kentucky Foundation for Women. We feature workshops and readings by poets, novelists, nonfiction writers, and playwrights. We also have a playwriting contest with a pretty great prize. The winning script is produced as a world premiere by Lexington's own Balagula Theater. My guest today is Kathy E.B. Ellis, an independent theater director. Based in Louisville, she has directed productions in New York City, Florida, and Lexington, as well as her hometown of Louisville. Kathy, can you tell us about the play you're directing for Balagula Theater?
Absolutely, and it's great to be here, Julie. The play is, as you said, the winner of the Kentucky Women Writers Conference Play Festival, and the title is EGO, The Passions of Eugene Gladstone O'Neill, and it's written by Joe Morello, who's a playwright based out in Florida.
Well, what drew you to wanting to direct this particular script?
Well, the bottom line is that Natasha offered it to me, and Natasha is, of course, a co-director of Balagula along with Ryan Case. But more seriously than that, much of my directing career has been involved with theater companies that are dedicated to women's issues, to women playwrights, to nurturing female theater artists of all kinds. And so to direct the winning play of the Kentucky Women Writers Conference at a theater company that I love a great deal was an opportunity too good to turn up.
Well, we're certainly glad to have you on board this exciting project. I wonder if you can talk a little bit about some of the challenges that are unique to directing a world premiere, being the first to oversee its transformation from page to stage.
Well, and that's a great way of describing it, the transformation from page to stage. I think every playwright starts with their creation that is on the page, and that is very much their creation and very much a literary work, even if the characters' voices exist within their imagination. And then once you put it in three dimensions and you bring real human beings, bodies, and voices into the equation, It changes, it shifts, it's still the playwright's creation, and yet there are all of these other imaginations and voices involved. So it is challenging, but it's a wonderful challenge. I think new plays are the lifeblood of our theater. And don't get me wrong, I love the canon, but I also thoroughly enjoy and embrace the opportunity to work with a living playwright and to analyze their work, question where they're coming from, to get a sense of what their impetus was to write the story, and then do my best in collaboration with the actors and the designers to bring to life something that has the passion, if you will, of why the playwright originally created the piece.
Theater has a great tradition of biographical plays, from Shakespeare's histories through many favorites of the past century like St. Joan, A Lion in Winter, Amadeus, The Miracle Worker, The Belle of Amherst. Why are we drawn to plays grounded in fact?
I can't speak generally, but I'm an historian as well as a theater artist. So anything that gives me the opportunity to put together both of those loves is always wonderful, and I've had the really great opportunity of directing pieces about real people as well as directing pieces about absolutely wonderful fictional characters. And I have actually directed both The Lion in Winter and The Miracle Worker. And now, of course, this piece about Eugene O'Neill. And I think the really great essays in dramatizing individuals is that the playwrights take in all of the factual information so it infuses what they're about to write, and then they write a really jolly good play. And there are dramatic licenses. I mean, if you look at The Lion in Winter, Henry and Eleanor probably didn't speak that way, but the way in which they speak bring to life that period of history with a nod and a wink to some anachronisms, in a way that I think gets people excited about a period of history that many of us don't even remember happened. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to think that Joe's piece in personalizing Eugene himself and the women in his life from their points of view might generate a little bit more interest in himself more than his great canon of plays.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, Eugene O'Neill is obviously considered one of the greatest American playwrights, but his plays are notoriously challenging to produce. do you think EGO will send people back to O'Neill's own work?
I hope so. And one never knows why people choose to come to see a particular production. One can only hope that while they're in the theater, they'll have a direct connection with the story, the character, an issue, something that takes them out to that third stoplight on the way home going, oh, okay, now I get, you know, and I love that moment, even though it's not a moment that we're privy to. I love the fact that some people do talk about plays after they leave the theater. So I would hope so. My guess is that unless you're absolutely an O'Neill scholar, beyond Long Day's Journey and Tonight, and maybe a couple of his other pieces, you may not know that much about his personal life. And so to be able to tell his story through the lens of Agnes Balton and Carlotta Monterey, who, of course, has been single-handedly determined in the way that she helped to craft the myth of Eugene O'Neill after his death, I hope that maybe more people might be more intrigued about O'Neill the man, and knowing that so many of his plays had highly autobiographical ideas within them, even beyond Long Day's Journey and Tonight, that folks will go back to his pieces and to the early pieces that were so experimental in nature and, you know, may not be as great as the ones that got such recognition with the Pulitzer and the Nobel, but still asked us as individuals to think outside the box and embrace new ideas and new forms of artistry. So, yeah, I hope so.
Natasha Williams said that she might like to follow up this season with a production of O'Neill in the future. So maybe that will happen for Lexington audiences.
Well, and we've got a few to choose from.
I wanted to ask you, in conclusion, the Women Writers Conference welcomes men to all of its events, but we feature only the work of women writers. How do you think women writers and artists benefit from having a conference of their own?
Well, that could be a whole a whole other conversation. I think that until the role of women, and I'm going to say particularly theater because that's what we're talking about, but I think it could definitely be expanded beyond theater. But I think until the role of women in theater is as equitable as the role of men, that we will always benefit from being in a room of our peers. And I think it's absolutely wonderful that Kentucky has such a long-standing conference that lifts up the work of writers in so many different genres. And as you probably know, there's a national movement, 50-50 in 2020, with the goal of having 50% representation. And of course, the movement comes out of Broadway, but I think it also needs to apply to regional theater and to theater at all levels, that there will be 50% representation by women writers, directors, and designers. And you don't have to Google very far to find the statistics that demonstrate that so many theater companies are not doing that. And it's really exciting that a theater company here in Kentucky that is helmed by a woman also has plays in their season written by women, and the fact that they invited a woman director as well is wonderful. So absolutely, I think, and again, not to exclude men. It would be, you know, we kind of need some guys around to tell the story of Mr. O'Neill. And, you know, some of my most beloved collaborators in theater are men as well as women. And yet, I do believe that to create a space where women can converse about what it is we do and why we do it with other women to create networks, to create bonding, and to create a critical mass is really important.
I certainly agree with everything you've said, Kathy. Thank you for joining us today. Our guest has been Kathy E.B. Ellis. She is directing EGO, The Passions of Eugene Gladstone O'Neill by Joe Morello, with 6 performances on September 13 through the 22nd at the Downtown Arts Center, 141 East Main Street. For tickets, call LexArts at 859-225-0370. Our complete UK Perspectives interviews are available at wuky.org. For WUKY, I'm Julie Rinn.